Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. It is Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. And per usual, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. It is another day in which it is a bit chilly outside, fall-like weather. We're getting like that misty rain right now, overcast. That's fall for you. I missed the sun already. So hopefully we can bring some sunshine to your Thursday afternoon with another entertaining, enlightening, and informative hour of Current Sports. We've got a lot to get to on today's show. On today's Current Sports, we'll be rolling in an interview done by our very own Jamie Paisley, classical music host here at WKAR. He does a fantastic, fantastic job alongside Jody Knoll. Jamie got a chance to sit down with a man who has been named as Minor League Broadcaster of the Year, Mr. Jesse Goldberg Strassler, who has been the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts for over a decade now. We salute Jesse today, and trust, you do not want to miss this interview. Jamie does a fantastic job interviewing Jesse as Jesse takes you through his career, talks about the incredible honor and so many were up for this award, and to choose Jesse, he is oh so deserving. I have been watching this brother work hard for a long, long time. Dating back to my time in college, that's when I first met him. I job shadowed him as a young, aspiring sports broadcasting student here at Michigan State. He has been just the nicest human being on planet Earth, and he deserves everything good coming his way because he's so nice, he works his tail off, and he's really, really good at his job. Obviously, right? When you're named Minor League Baseball Sports Broadcaster of the Year. That's awesome stuff. So you don't want to miss that chat. Later on this hour, we'll talk some Detroit Lions football. And I want to ask, how good are the Detroit Lions? After watching what occurred against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday, Patrick Mahomes and company dodging a close call against the Lions. Because I mentioned earlier this week how, depending on what publication you read, the power ranking for the Detroit Lions, it varies. Because there are some that are saying, okay, good game, Lions, but you still lost and you're still the Lions. So you're not, they're not feeding into the hype, while others are saying, hey, only one loss on the year, and that loss came in a tight one against one of the NFL's best. The Lions have looked pretty good throughout this season. Some are buying the hype. So the power ranking of the Lions, it varies. It varies, and it depends on who you talk to. All right, so I'm going to tackle that question, or at least try to, on today's show. And then on the back end of the show, we will have Throwback Thursday for you, where each and every Thursday we hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what occurred on this day in sports history. All right? So a lot to get to, per usual. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is your number. You probably got it on speed dial by now. That's the number to call if you would like to be a part of today's show. You can also weigh in courtesy of good old social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. You can check out this handsome face right there and comment below the video. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet the hour by tweeting me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, don't panic, Spartan fans, but some of you probably read the headline, Cassius Winston and hamstring injury, and you probably panicked a bit, but just take a breath right now. All right, calm down. Tom Izzo did say that Winston missed a few days of practice last week with a hamstring injury. The 6'1", 185-pound guard, a unanimous selection for Big Ten Player of the Year. He said that he got injured during conditioning, though he appeared full go in practice when it opened on September 24th. This is what Cash had to say, quote, "I feel a lot better. I'm probably another couple of days to get fully back. It was just a freak accident that kind of happened. It was nothing too severe, though. I was back the next week and kind of tweaked it. Just go into the season 100%. I don't want anything nagging or anything like that. I felt pretty good. I'll be all right." He'll be all right. So just take a breath right now. All right, don't panic. I will say, though, when I read that, you know, when I read the quote, "nothing too severe," he still is alluding to that it was severe. So, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Don't panic. Don't panic, folks. All right. All right, Michigan State women's soccer continues the teeth of its Big Ten schedule as they travel to the land of 10,000 lakes to take on the Golden Gophers tonight at 8 p.m. They are looking to keep the momentum going as they tallied their first in-conference win against Purdue, 2-0 the final there. Currently 1-2 in conference, losing 1-0 to Ohio State and getting torched 5-1 at the hands of Penn State. You can catch tonight's game, Michigan State women's soccer against Minnesota, on BTN Plus. All right, and this is a very cool story. Kyle Kuzma made mama proud by signing with Puma. I like that. As he looks to expand his brand on and off the court, LA Lakers forward Kyle Kuzma, Flint's favorite son, he signed a 5-year footwear and apparel endorsement deal with Puma. The deal is expected to pay Kuzma more than $20 million over the life of the contract, with additional incentives that could escalate the total value, according to the industry sources. Now, Kuzma is now one of the highest earning players with Puma and a feature partner with the company. He also will be featured in brand campaigns and key product feedback sessions and have creative control over future collections. Awesome, awesome news. Watching this young man from Flint work his way into NBA stardom now, and now signing a pretty lucrative deal with the Puma athletic brand. Awesome stuff. All right. Speaking of athletic brands, this one isn't doing so well. Big Baller Brands collapse led to Lonzo Ball suing his former business partner, Allen Foster, 6 months ago, in an effort to recoup more than $2 million. Now, Foster is countersuing Ball and his father, good old LeVar Ball, for fraudulent concealment and breach of contract. That's according to legal documents obtained by The Blast. Now, LeVar Ball is being accused of embezzling more than $2.5 million from the Big Baller brand and Ball Sports Group, among other companies associated with the family, to fund the extravagant lifestyle he was keen on displaying to the public. In the suit, Foster says, quote, LeVar approached Allen and asked for his business guidance on how to monopolize and gain fortune and fame from the names and likeness of his three sons. In response, Allen suggested that the two men brand the Ball family name in order to create the basketball and entertainment-related businesses. LeVar loved Allen's idea and wanted to make sure that he was the biggest star in the family, notwithstanding the fact that he was broke, had no savings, poor credit, and zero business acumen. Wow, that's a pretty serious accusation there. Foster claims LeVar Ball purchased more than $1 million worth of new cars and conducted a $6 million renovation of his home. And Alec Rio writes in my script last minute, I guess the Triple B's now stand for Big Broke Brand. Yeah, I'm with you, Alec, there. This doesn't look good. This does not look good. There is a problem within this family as well. It seems to me like Lonzo is trying to distance himself from his father as well. So there you have that. All right, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays had full control all of yesterday's wild card tilt against the Oakland A's, erupting for four runs in the first three innings, en route to a 5-1 win. They are now moving on to their division series against the Houston Astros. The Astros, as many of you know, had baseball's best regular season record this season. Former Tiger, Aviceel Garcia, he tallied two ribbies in the win. With both wild card games officially over, it definitely feels like October baseball now, doesn't it? Gotta love October baseball. This is when it all counts. All right, after falling short in the Super Bowl, the LA Rams are looking for a championship season. However, they face stiff competition tonight against division foe, Seattle, the Seahawks. That game will take place tonight, Thursday Night Football at CenturyLink Field. It's the first game on the week five NFL schedule. The Rams, sitting at 3-1, who won the NFC West with a 13-3 record in 2018, hoping to win their first championship since the Super Bowl back in 1999, while the Seahawks, who finished second in the division with a 10-6 mark last year, 3-1 also this season, are seeking their eighth straight winning season. Thursday's kickoff slate, 8:20 p.m., from Seattle. There has been plenty of line movement already out in Vegas. LA opened as a 2.5-point favorite, but the spread has swung 4 points. Now Seattle is favored by 1.5 in the latest Rams versus Seahawks odds, while the over-under for the total points scored is 49.5. So you'll want to see what the sports line projection model says before making any Seahawks versus Rams picks of your own. It should be a fun, tight game, if I had to guess. All right, so I'll be tuned into that. I can't wait for that. And speaking of lines and sports betting and Vegas, sports betting is ready to go legally online out in Indiana today. How about that? That's a hop and a skip from us here in Michigan. And that's a little more than a month after the state's casinos started taking game wagers. Chicago-based Rush Street Interactive and Boston-based DraftKings both say they are set to launch the state's first mobile sports wagering apps. That's after receiving approval from the Indiana Gaming Commission. Now, DraftKings is partnering with the Ameristar Casino in East Chicago and Rush Street with the French Lick Resort Casino. In-person sports betting began during September at 10 of Indiana's 13 state-regulated casinos and all three off-track betting parlors in the state. All Indiana casino operators are planning mobile betting apps, but no others have yet to announce launch dates. So the way this whole thing works is that, you know, if you are in Indiana, which uses, you know, like your GPS to see where you are, if you are within state lines, you can download these apps and you can make bets. So mobile wagering is expected to ultimately seize most of the state's sports betting market. A report for the State Gaming Commission projected about two-thirds of sports bets will be done online within a few years, while more than 80% of sports wagering in New Jersey is being done over the internet or smartphones. And to that headline, I say Michigan, what are you waiting on? Get in the game or you are going to be left behind.
Yeah, it's very tempting to, you know, want to go move to Indiana, you know, and go do that. But then again, it is Indiana. Sorry, Ray.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe Ray is putting down some moolah against Michigan. Maybe he's doing that starting today, right?
I don't know. Maybe he'll start betting against the bullies.
Yeah, exactly. That's a safe bet. It's a safe bet right now, I'll tell you that. All right. And last but certainly not least, check this. Prosecutors in Florida formally filed an appeal on Tuesday to bring back crucial video evidence they want to use in the sex spa case against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. This is what the state asserted in its appeal. Quote, based on video captured by surveillance cameras police installed in the spa pursuant to a warrant, Mr. Kraft's guilt is a virtual certainty. Now, in May, if you remember, Palm Beach County Judge Leonard Hasner, he threw out, as evidence, secretly recorded video inside Orchids of Asia Day Spa out in Jupiter, Florida, where police said Kraft visited not once but twice. The state attorney's office announced in July it would seek a reversal through the 4th District Court of Appeal. A decision by the 4th DCA is expected to take several months. Hasner, he ruled Jupiter police failed to meet guidelines laid out in a sneak and peek search warrant. Kraft, he was charged in February with 2 misdemeanor counts of soliciting prostitution. His prosecution essentially is on hold until the appeal is settled. There you have that. Boom goes the dynamite there to close out today's headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there and comment below that live stream. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show.
I'm a rat's ass about Twitter.
I know. A lot of people don't. I'm really getting sick of Twitter, too, to be honest with you. Just social media in general. I think I need, like, a cleanse just to get away from it. Just to get away from it. I feel that. You can also tweet the show at WKAR News, all right? Let's keep it pushing. Hey, folks, I want to start here congratulating the 2019 MILB Broadcaster of the Year. Can we give a big salute to Mr. Jesse Goldberg Strassler, who is a dear friend of many here in the business, a dear friend of many of our listeners out there. If you have attended a Lansing Lugnut game, I am sure that, you know, you have seen Jesse walking around. You know what he looks like. And if you are a Lugnuts fan and have been listening to the Lansing Lugnuts game broadcast, you have heard his voice game after game after game for more than a decade now bring to you Lansing Lugnuts action. So the 2019 Broadcaster of the Year, Jesse Goldberg Strassler of the Midwest League. He was named
the Midwest League Broadcaster of the Year back in 2013, has been nominated for this award several times over the years. He is the author of the Baseball Thesaurus and the Football Thesaurus, multiple versions of the Baseball Thesaurus he has published. Goldberg Strassler, he is known for his annual recreation game as well, which is always very cool, where he basically calls the game blind as a way to pay homage to how it was back in the day when budgets were very limited and you could not send a baseball broadcaster on the road to every single game. So he just does an awesome job. And I always say this about Jesse. When I talk about Jesse, he is one of the nicest human beings you can ever meet. He really is. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. You know, I tell people that. I've had interns of mine, you know, say, hey, Al, can you get in touch with Jesse? I would love to job shadow him one day. You know, and I reach out to Jesse and set up the job shadow. And I tell them, again, Jesse is one of the nicest human beings you've ever met. I'm telling you. And they go and they say, they come back and say, Al, you are right. He's just the nicest dude. He's just amazing. He really is. So our very own Jamie Paisley, this may be Jamie's debut here on Current Sports, producing a feature for us. Jamie got the chance to sit down with Jesse. This is before this news became public, I believe like either yesterday or 2 days ago. Jesse talked with Jamie this past weekend and helped produce this feature, got him in the studio, and turned it around for today's broadcast. And it's a really great conversation between our, you know, classical musical host here at WKAR, Jamie Paisley, and Jesse. Check it out as we salute Jesse Goldberg Strassler again, the 2019 MILB Broadcaster of the Year.
Jesse Goldberg Strassler, thank you for joining us. You are just completing your 11th year as announcer and a voice of the Lugnuts, but you have a bit of news that is coming your way. What is that?
Well, Ballpark Digest is about to name me the National Minor League Broadcaster of the Year.
In total, how many people are up for that? How many minor leagues are there?
That's a good question, because there's, at the AAA level, there are two. There's the International League and the Pacific Coast League. At the AA level, there are three. There's the Eastern League and the Southern League and the Texas League. At advanced level, there are two, Florida State League and California League. Actually, a third, the Carolina League. Single A level, the Lansing Lugnuts level, two, Midwest League and South Atlantic League. Then below us, the Northwest League, the Appalachian League, the New York Penn League, plus all of the different independent leagues are included in this, the Frontier League, the Can-Am League, the American Association, and onward. So it's rather staggering.
For as quickly as you're able to recall that information, I think you're showing exactly why you are minor league baseball broadcaster of the year.
It's a good understanding to just see the landscape and see what's out there.
True, true. Now, what can you tell me, especially for your relationship with the Lugnuts, about Pat Day?
St. Patrick Day. Patrick Day was my assistant general manager with the Montgomery Biscuits back in 2006. And then starting in 2007, he was brought in as the general manager of the Lugnuts, replacing Jeff Calhoun, magnificent person. Well, Brad Tillery was the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts through 2008. And after Brad left in 2008, Patrick Day thought of me, his former number two broadcaster assisting Jim Tocco, and St. Patrick gave me a call and said, we've got this opening. And in the winter meetings, December 2008 in Las Vegas, Nevada, I flew in. My blood sugar was entirely too high, so I was gulping orange juice. I interviewed for the Lansing Lugnuts opening, and I was offered it several hours later, and I've been a Lugnut ever since. So without Patrick Day making me the offer and thinking of me, I never would have come to the state of Michigan.
For the 11 years that you've been the voice of the Lugnuts, obviously people get to know you a bit more and you have encounters with the public, but not many people get to see you in person. Case in point, at this very moment, what is it like when people recognize you from your voice?
I had one person tell me that my voice sounded like I had a mustache, and I have heard that I sound taller than I am in real life. I'm a very proud 5'6" and 1/4. It's really fun to meet people who've known me voice first and then in person second. I prefer it the opposite way around, but that to my mind is the the joy of this, to be bringing baseball during the spring and summer into the early part of autumn to different folks who I may never meet in person to say, here's what's going on. You might care about this. Maybe I've got some stories for you. That's a really fun connection.
We're speaking with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, but also just announced this week as the Minor League Baseball Announcer of the Year. For the ceremony of getting this award, how is that going to happen?
Well, it's going to have to be received by people in my place, on my behalf. It is given out at the winter meetings every single year. So in December, the second week, this year it will be in San Diego. Each year the winter meetings are held at a different enormous site. And so my owner, my team president, my general manager, Tom Dixon, Nick Reeser, Tyler Parsons, in that order, will be attending the Ballpark Digest banquet, and I've asked them to receive on my behalf.
Now, the reason for them being on your behalf is another reason to celebrate, though.
Yes, because I have attended every single winter meeting save one since December 2004. It is unusual for me to miss a winter meetings, but there is a baby on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
But you're going to still miss Petco Park.
Yes, I will, which I've been once before. I love Petco, and I really have enjoyed visiting the city of San Diego. I think that in addition to my broadcasting with the Lugnuts, the other things that have distinguished me, I hold an annual game recreation broadcast every single year. The way that broadcasters used to have to call the game in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and onward, Ernie Harwell, Ronald Reagan, we're talking about broadcasters at each level, they couldn't go on the road. There wasn't the budget for that. There wasn't the technology for that. So they had to stay back in their home studio and recreate the game via wire messages. And then they would crack, let's say, a wooden spoon or a wooden ruler or two baseball bats together, as I do, because once a year I keep that tradition alive. The play-by-play is messaged to me, and I slam a baseball into a glove, or I crack two bats together, and I recreate that live Lansing Lugnuts baseball game that is occurring. So that's one thing that I think has distinguished me compared to my peers, is nobody else seems to. People say, how interesting, but so far I've not convinced anybody else to give it a try. I also wrote the Baseball Thesaurus, now in its third edition, all about the language of how we talk baseball, because I needed help diversifying my diction. And so I just started writing down these lists, and then others took notice of it. And so now it is very much every single home run call that I could ever find, every single way that you could think of hitting a home run or running around the bases or different ways to describe a fight, a brouhaha, a rhubarb, and onward. And then the third way that I think that I've distinguished myself in addition to these, well, I help execute the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame for the Lansing Lugnuts, but on a weekly basis throughout the season, every Friday, I host and I produce Around the Nest, a Toronto Blue Jays organizational talk show, which features the voice of every single affiliate in the Blue Jays organization. And so we take you around. We start off AAA Buffalo. Let's see what's going on. What are the fun stories from the past week? What's the update on this prospect? Hey, this player was just drafted. What did we see from him? Short season A, Vancouver. Rookie level Bluefield. What is going on in the Appalachian League and AA New Hampshire and A Advanced Dunedin? I check in with every single affiliate just to say, hey, Blue Jays fans, you care about your prospects. Here's what's happening. So it really is, I would say, a unique experience for people who care about the Blue Jays, which is an entire nation, and more of people who care about these prospects and these teams, of going around every single affiliate and sharing those stories.
Let's go back to the Baseball Thesaurus.
Yes.
So because of the want of diversifying your language that you use, do you still have kind of items that you have as signatures that you're like, yes, I want to change my the way that I talk about it, but I have a phrase that I still love?
I would separate the two.
Yeah.
The phrases that I love are, and I think that you understand this because you also work in language, you understand what tastes good coming out of your mouth. So it feels so much better to me to say the ball is rocketed down the left field line. Rocketed sounds so much better than other words that I could use to describe that. The ball is slugged to left field. Slugged looks really good on paper. It comes out poorly when I try to speak it. I would love to say that this player delivers the ball to first base or distributes the ball to first base, but that doesn't sound very good in the moment. Yeah. But in the moment, if I say he whips it across the diamond, then you can feel that. He wings it to first base, the peg to first. It is all about what sounds right and then what also looks right written, because I have to write up the game recap afterward. So I would like to separate all of those different lists and trying to figure out what are the different ways that I can describe things with what I've discovered sounds right in the moment. A home run, for example, what I've discovered, you need something quick and definitive. So my favorite two ways of describing the home run are either gone. That's definitive in the moment. It is hit high and deep to left field. Back goes Johnson. Warning track. Wall. It is gone. You feel that. And the same thing goes for goodbye. A high deep drive. Left center field. Johnson's on the run. Looks up. Goodbye. There's something about those that punctuates the moment that you can't get from other things. And it was only in starting to compile these lists that I could really start to organize and start to try them all out. You have to try them out. You have to say, like a baseball player might try out different pitches. How does this slider feel? I don't feel that slider. Let's try this grip for the changeup. And the same thing holds true, different gloves, different baseball bats. These are all tools at our disposal. And so it's my opinion that every person should try out as many tools as they can, as they have right there at their beck and call. And that way they know for them personally, this is literally for me, my call of the game. So what am I doing in order to maximize that moment, in order to deliver the very best call that I can for everybody who's listening in and wanting exactly what's happening out there on the field?
There is a very famous description of music where it's the things that happen in between the notes, the silence. And that's what that exclamation of the gone, of goodbye, it's the punctuation and then the silence of celebration as well.
Yes, especially because when you work as a broadcaster, you have a co-broadcaster sitting next to you, and it's not the other person. It is the crack of the bat. It is the snap of the ball into the glove, the same way that you hear it in the recreation, and it's the crowd. And you can't fight the crowd for space. You say goodbye or gone, and then you lay out. And you let the crowd excitement fill in the rest of that space, and it carries you. And that way a listener feels like they are right there with everybody else who is going absolutely wild.
While you have just wrapped up the 11th season with the Lansing Lugnuts, are there aspirations higher, perhaps even to go back to Baltimore and the Orioles?
I would think that, and this is something that my wife has really helped me out with, it has to be individual. And so what I'd like to say there is the external aspiration, which is by and large out of my control. If an opening develops, okay, there's an opening with this major league team. Am I the proper person for it? Well, I can seem suitable. You can listen to my tape and you can say that Jesse would be a suitable broadcaster for this major league opening. But by and large, there are decision makers at hand. And so we see what happens. And you cannot take umbrage when an opening goes to somebody else. So because of that, you have to look at what you can control. And in that sense, it becomes more internal. And so I look at how I can maximize my own ability in order to deliver the very best call I can to the fans who are listening. Not for the glorification of myself, but just making sure that they receive the very best call that they can. So anything that happens on the job front, that's all well and good, but I can't take it personally one way or another. I just have to make sure that I'm delivering to the folks of Lansing, Mid-Michigan, and everybody who cares the very best call that they can expect to receive.
Since we are now in the postseason era, you do occupy yourself with other things. One being, up in Central Michigan, where you do.
I'm the radio voice of the Central Michigan University women's basketball team.
Coming up that season is?
Or number six.
Yeah.
So I'm about to start up my sixth season with the Chippewas.
But you also keep yourself busy with writing. We've talked about the Baseball Thesaurus 3rd edition released last year. You've also got the Football Thesaurus. What else is kind of percolating? How else do you occupy the next iteration?
Well, you would think, right, there would be a Basketball Thesaurus in the offing. And yes, I have compiled a lot of basketball books because as somebody who broadcasts it, I want to make sure that I'm talking the language as well as I can, the same way that somebody seeking to become fluent in another language, you must understand and diversify your vocabulary. Your vocabulary can't be limited, otherwise it limits your imagination. And so I'm very much working on the listing of basketball jargon and the way that it is discussed. In addition to that, I have a great fascination of fiction. So I'm perpetually delving into, right now it's baseball fiction, just painting pictures that I can see behind the scenes that others are not privy to. So, for example, whether that's a scene on the bus or a scene in the clubhouse, a scene in the dugout, I see these people as people. I understand their own human struggles. And so I don't want to share the real stories because I believe that that's private to them. But I certainly can say, here's what the world is like. And as somebody who I love to devour fiction. I love short stories. I love mysteries. I love novels. I love all of these different things that really brings us into these worlds that fascinate us, whether we knew that we loved them before or we didn't, and we're only now discovering that we love them. So I'm very much fascinated in writing baseball fiction and simply fiction in general, whether that's magical realism, whether that's murder mysteries, or wherever it might take me.
Jessica Bruce Rassler, the recently announced Minor League Broadcaster of the Year. Congratulations, not only for the award, but for the upcoming baby as
Jamie,
well.
Jamie, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
How awesome was that? And a big round of applause to Jamie Paisley for putting together that interview. A fantastic interview with Jesse Goldberg Strassler. I'm getting some comments here. This one comes from Mike. Mike says here on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, Al, listening to this interview, I can see why you wanted to shadow him. The enthusiasm and his crafting of the broadcast really comes through. Kudos to Jamie Paisley for a well-done interview. And very well said. Thank you so much for that comment, Mike. And, you know, he's just so detailed. You know, I love how he took us through how he describes a call on the air and plays with different words and how certain words in comparison to others give you a better visual as a listener of what's happening out there on the baseball field. He's so detailed. He's so good on the air and so well deserving of this honor. So congratulations again to Jesse Goldberg Strassler, the Minor League Baseball Broadcaster of the Year. All right. We hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some Detroit Lions. And I'll try my best to put a finger on this Detroit Lions team because this squad right now is getting mixed reviews. Just how good are the Detroit Lions after a very, very close loss against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday? That and more. Also, Throwback Thursday on tap on the back end. We'll be right back. Back to WKAR's Current Sports as we move along here. You know, I do briefly want to piggyback on a conversation that we had on the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports concerning Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback who has now made some nice cheese in the National Football League, right? Now quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, formerly of the Washington Redskins. You know, Jack Kerwin and I, we went back and forth and we were in agreement. We were in agreement about, you know, Kirk Cousins and how good of a quarterback is he in the NFL. We both agreed that he is a bit overrated. Kirk is an okay quarterback, but nothing to, you know, flip your wig about. No offense to Kirk. You know, he's done just enough to earn a lot of money. you at like the next
that?
Level. Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins. And you know, we talked about his struggles this past week. Heck, his struggles so far in the preliminary stages of the NFL regular season. He has not played great. He's played pretty bad, to be honest with you guys. And now it looks like his star wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, is so frustrated with the situation that he wants out. Stephon Diggs wants to chuck the deuces up to Minnesota. And I think a lot of it has to do with the quarterback out in Minnesota, that being Cousins. And this sense had been, you know, percolating for a while now. And Diggs really did nothing to defuse it after missing work yesterday. He didn't show up for work with the Vikings yesterday, supposedly because he was sick. Yeah, sick. I think he's sick and tired of playing for the Minnesota Vikings. That's his illness right now. Now, he was back with the team today. He did meet with the media. And in doing so, I think, folks, it became crystal clear that it would take a miracle to make the man responsible for. Remember the Minneapolis miracle? Remember that moment? Amazing moment in NFL postseason history. He wants out. This is what Diggs said regarding the rumor that he could be traded. This comes via Chris Thomason of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Quote, "I feel there's truth to all rumors, no matter how you dress it up. I won't be saying nothing on it. I won't be speaking on it at all. But there is truth to all rumors, I guess." Well, saying nothing, he said plenty there. And he wasn't done. Quote, "The space that we are in right now is definitely a lot of questions. I can sit up here and act like everything is okay because obviously it's not. But I can say at this point, I'm just trying to work through it." Yeah, Stephon Diggs saying that I won't be saying anything on it. Well, there's truth to all rumors. Stephon Diggs wants out. He just does. You can tell. We all know that. And where does he want to go? Well, I don't know how much you can read into this, but Stephon Diggs yesterday on his Instagram account, he followed multiple players on guess who? The New England Patriots football team. I think we know where he wants to go. And I think that speaks a lot to how players out there want to win in the NFL. You know, it may seem at times in today's 2019 sports landscape, the players are all about the brand and you don't want to go to the big sexy cities and, you know, like Miami and LA and New York, the big markets. Not to say that New England isn't a big market. It's a huge market in the NFL now because of the dynasty that's been created there. But it's not like Miami, right? But the Dolphins are horrible, right? It's not like California. It's not New York and the media mecca that is New York. It's Boston. Weather isn't great, but when you have a dynasty and you have legends of the game, like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who are still winning today, players want to win in the NFL, period. They don't care where your franchise is. This isn't the NBA. It's like the opposite in the NBA. It's about can I be with the sexy city, the sexy franchise, you know, the franchise that has the best weather and, you know, the lifestyle is lavish. It's a different feel in the NBA. Not to say that those guys aren't competitive, but I think the competitiveness pales in comparison to that of the NFL. It just does. Guys want to win, period. Stephon Diggs wants to win, so why not try and shoot your shot by becoming a member of the New England Patriots organization? So, I don't know. Will Kirk turn this thing around? It doesn't look good. I'll just say that. And I truly believe that in this upcoming draft, come next year, the Minnesota Vikings are going to draft a quarterback somewhere. So, there's that story. Stephon Diggs. I won't be saying nothing on it, but you know what? There's truth to all rumors. Oh, you said a lot there, Stephon. Okay, just how good are the Detroit Lions? I want to ask that question right now in segment B. 5-minute convo. Let's just have a 5-minute convo on that very topic because I think it depends on who you ask. I think a lot of you out there are drinking the Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid. You guys are guzzling it down, loving where your franchise is right now. And I can't fault you because it is very rare when we talk about the Detroit Lions in this kind of context. They've only lost one game. Only lost one game. And with the exception of the second half and overtime period against the Arizona Cardinals, this team has played relatively well throughout the 2019 campaign. And you pushed the Kansas City Chiefs, arguably the NFL's best team, with arguably the NFL's biggest star. No argument that he's the biggest young star. I still think the biggest star probably goes to Tom Brady, but Patrick Mahomes is that deal. And he had been lighting teams up, wasn't even close, before he stepped on that field at Ford Field, downtown Detroit, to take on your Detroit Lions. No doubt about it, that Lions performance was very impressive, and it's a game that the Lions should have won. And please, I vented to Jack about this yesterday. We were both chatting about this, and it blows my mind how weak some of you Detroit Lions fans are to sit there and blame that game on the refs. Stop it. You had plenty of opportunities to close that game out. Plenty. You can't fumble on the goal line and allow the team to go 90-plus yards to the house. That should have been guaranteed 6 points. After the whole catch or no catch with Kenny Golladay in the back of the end zone, Matthew Stafford can't fumble the play right after. You got to get some points there. How about the decision, and it's the same thing that happened against Arizona, the decision to rush three and put eight in coverage on that fourth down? Come on, G. Stop it, Lions fans. I get it. Were the referees great in that game? The opinions vary. If you're not a Detroit Lions fan, I'm probably one of the few in the state of Michigan who looked at that game and said the referees did a pretty good job. I have no problem with it. Was it a catch with Kenny Golladay? According to the rule book, no. Ball was still moving, going down. Don't get mad at the referees. Get mad at the rule. All right? And then the whole situation to let the play out during that fumble on the one-yard line. Referees made the right decision there. Let the thing play out because they had made a mistake in the New Orleans Saints game the week prior to. Referees let it play out. You went to replay. You saw that the ball was coming out before the man was down. The play plays out. It was a fumble. Take it to the house. You can't stop playing until you hear the whistle. Touchdown. Okay? Stop it. And winning fan bases, with the exception of a blatant missed call like last year with the Saints in the divisional championship game. Most of the time, winning fan bases don't blame the referees. Okay? You got to start looking yourself in the mirror, looking at what you could have done better, and saying to yourself, okay, we should have had that game because you should have had that game. But it says a lot, Detroit Lions fans, that your Detroit Lions were able to push a team like that to the brink. So when it comes to how good this team is, it varies. It varies. You know, there are so many publications out there that are everywhere with this squad. When it comes to power rankings, the Lions now 2-1-1 heading into this bye week have national writers unsure. They just do. Bleacher Report ranks the Lions one spot higher than last week at number 16. The Chicago Tribune has Detroit inside their top 15 as columnist Brad Biggs moved the Lions five spaces to number 11. The team falls two spaces in ESPN's NFL Nation from number 13 to number 15. The Houston Chronicle's John McClain, he moved the Lions down four spots to number 18. The Lions moved up one space in Dan Hannes' power rankings for NFL.com to number 13. Mike Florio, he might be coming around this week. He bumped the Lions up five spots to number 14. The Lions cracked the top 10 in Sports Illustrated's Monday morning quarterback power rankings. Nate Davis of USA Today changed his tune and now has the Lions, who he picked. Okay, let's just clarify this. Nate Davis is the USA Today writer who picked the Lions to finish dead last. And he now has them in the top five. Nate. They're just letting you write anything at USA Today. You had them finishing dead last, and now you got the Lions.
That is blasphemous.
It's crazy. The Lions in the top five, I think we all agree, they don't deserve to be in the top five. But Nate Davis, had them picked dead last. The Lions are now in the top five. The Washington Post's Mark Masick, he dropped the Lions seven spots from 12 to 19. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, he moved the Lions from number 16 to number 18. And for MLive, Benjamin Raven, he moved the Lions one spot to number 12. It's everywhere. Bottom line, everybody's confused. Everybody's confused right now when it comes to this team. And if history is any indication of this 2019 team, I'm not buying in just yet. It is too early. It is way too early. I'm not doing it, Lions. You have done this before to me, and I've gotten bitten. I'm not going there. I'm not about to be Charlie Brown, and you're not to be Lucy anymore. That's it. I'm done with that. You're not getting me with the pull the football away trick. This is still a franchise last season that beat the Super Bowl champs. Remember? The Lions did beat the Patriots last year. And everybody's like, ho-ho, watch out. No. I'm not going to be prisoner of the moment. Let's let these weeks play out. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, Throwback Thursday is headed your way. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. Today is October 3rd. Check this. On this day, folks, back in 1995, this happened.
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman, a human being, as charged in count two of the information. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, further find the special circumstance that the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, has in this case been convicted of at least one crime of murder of the first degree and one or more crimes of murder of the first or second degree to be not true. Signed this second day of October 1995, juror 230. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, is this your verdict? So say you won, so say you all. Yes.
All right, counsel, Mr. Simpson, would you be seated, please? Let's have it quiet in the courtroom, please. All right, Mrs. Robertson, would you please poll the jurors?
Poll the jury. Juror number one, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number two, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number three, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number four, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number five, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number six, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number seven, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number eight, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number nine, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number 10, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number 11, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number 12, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Wow. I am sure to this day that many of you who listen to that soundbite, you probably have so many memories going through your head. That's one of those moments. You'll never forget where you were, what you were doing, and your emotional reaction to listening to, on this day, back in 1995, when O.J. Simpson was acquitted of the 1994 murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald L. Goldman. Amazing, right? The juice getting off. Also on this day, these others don't top what you just heard, but on this day back in 2001, ESPN began its 10th season of National Hockey League coverage. Also on that same day back in 01, Barry Bonds of the San Francisco Giants, he broke Babe Ruth's Major League single season record for walks at 171. In 02, the Texas Rangers put John Rocker on waivers for the purpose of his unconditional release. And on this day back in 2012, a little Tigers flavor for you. Oh, how things change with time, right? Miguel Cabrera, he achieves baseball's first triple crown since 1967. Oh, the glory days of Miguel Cabrera and the Detroit Tigers. All right, folks, we got to chuck up the deuces. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. Have a fantastic rest of your day. And as always, be easy, people.